is, we got a problem here, and it's more than just Alvin streaming Punisher. When life begins to suck, who's reporting it? Luckily, got two friends who you won't forget. Coming live, Alvin and Friend on survival. Laughing nonstop, case drops on a cycle. Louder than intrusive thoughts off an iPhone. How they make the world seem bright with the lights off? AFs, it might as well stay up. Lies being told like that dinosaur BS. Magnifying glass to the ground if they don't see us. Having the time, roasting your favorite pizza. Bougie ain't an option, it's the way. Take it to the grave, add moving to the place. You already know when they take the case. Laugh the pain away, it's affirmative.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Affirmative Murder, the Equal Opportunity True Crime Comedy Podcast. I am Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, man, I'm the mailman, can't you tell, man? Gonna post on.
Fred, what's going on, man?
What up?
Not much.
Not much. What's up?
Same. Not much. We're in unison. Nothing much, man. How's it going? How's your March treating you? We're heading into springtime.
Good, man. The weather is having some difficulty trying to transition.
But, very, very difficult.
Enough. Is the big news going to be dropped on today's episode? I mean, like, what's the deal, man?
Oh, you mean Kendrick Lamar dissing Drake and J. Cole?
That is not what I'm talking about.
That was crazy.
At all. That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. I am happy to announce I've been holding on to a little bit of privacy for a little bit of time, but, you know, eventually you got to let people know what's going on in the world. I am having a child, my first. Yeah. There's a applause for my unborn.
Something. Come on.
Yes, Fran, we've been friends for a long time. We've been through many phases of life together. You've had multiple children. And I'm proud to announce that I finally lost my virginity and I'm having my first child. So make some noise for me. Super cool. Very excited. Around August is the date of due. And it's pretty wild, man. It's still kind of surreal, and it's getting more real by the day. But we can finally have conversations about, you know, advice and all those things. What are your thoughts and feelings, man?
Well, it's
you've been telling me to have a kid since I was like 21 years old.
Yeah, it's funny because now we're on a different side of the table.
Yeah,
like now we've had this conversation twice where it's like I've been the one having a child, and you know, ask me how I feel. Now I get to ask you this question and, you know, kind of wondering how you feel up until this leading moment, because the time between now and until, you know, when little O was here.
Yes.
It's going to be a snap of a finger. It's super quick.
It feels like that for sure. I mean, May is right around the corner, and then that feels like once we do CrimeCon and all that stuff, it's going to be, boom, July.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but as far as me, man, look, I got to zip tie my lips, man. I've been wanting to let people know the news. It's not even my news. And I'm like, man, I'm dying to tell people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, when you going to let people know, man? Damn, you taking all damn day.
Well, I had plans to do like a woodland extravaganza with smoke bombs and pyrotechnics and things like that. But, you know, we decided against that and went a little bit more subtle. I.e. the budget was too big for what I wanted to do. Blimp prices, man. You'd be surprised how much a blimp costs.
Blimp prices.
You
know, when you telling me, man, it was such a emotional moment where I'm like, because I've been waiting for you to have kids, and you know, obviously the cost just ain't play that way, you know, from early. Mm-hmm. So it's time now, and I'm super happy for you, man. And very emotional for me. I'm like, you just thought I was having another child.
Man.
We got off the phone. And I was fucking running around telling my wife what's going on. And like, I'm super happy, man. I'm excited. You would have thought it's my child. That's how excited I am.
It was a weird, like, it was one of those things, like, I called to let you know and was flooded with emotion as soon as you get to describing it, you know, because now it's real when you're the first person I tell. So it's like, now it's real because I had just found out. I went downstairs to get some DoorDash food. When I came up, she's holding the pregnancy test that she had taken earlier in the day. She just was dumping the trash out and thought it was, assumed that it was a negative because we had been trying for a couple of months. And so she just takes the test randomly. And when it's negative, she throws it away. And she went to go throw the trash away, just cleaning up, and looked, and the test was positive. I'm coming up. I got Popeyes in my hand. And she's crying. I'm like, what happened? And then she tells me. And then, you know, we started making phone calls. You were the first person I called. And it was like, it was excited, but it was this wave of, like, energy and emotion of just, like, saying the words. I just, like, started bawling, you know? So it was pretty trippy, man. And it's still very surreal. I'm very excited and nervous and terrified and all of the good, no bad. But, like, you know, there's real fear. I don't want to fuck up a kid. I don't want to, you know, I hope he likes me. And all those things start to run through my mind. But I'm very excited. And
he may not like me. So, I mean, that's possible.
I'm a hard guy to like sometimes. Sometimes people say that I'm a bit of an agitator at times, and I like to make jokes. But if he likes jokes, then we'll be A-okay, you know? So, right. You know, here's hoping he has some lightheartedness to him. But, yeah, man, super excited. Was super excited to tell people. And now we wait. You know, he's got some more cooking to do. But anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break because this week I have this story I really feel like is an important one and an interesting one. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to get into some fucked up shit. So stick around.
Affirmative Murder is brought to you by My Life in a Book. With Mother's Day right around the corner, I just know you guys are thinking about a truly special gift for your mom. Well, let me tell you about a pretty priceless gift. MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book that you could pass down from generation to generation, which I think is a pretty awesome memento to leave behind. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you want to ask. Your mother or the mother can either type her response or record her voice. MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It would be like preserving her voice and her stories for all of eternity. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm in the middle of MyLifeInABook.com journey, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out. I've been asking some pretty thought-provoking and funny questions, and, you know, I'm excited to see the response, but I'm also just excited to have the physical book in my hands and know that I can look back on it in 20, 30 years. The interface is super user-friendly. The questions are super easy to set up. It's a breeze of a process. So what I need you to do is check out MyLifeInABook.com. That's MyLifeInABook.com. And use code AMP. That's A, M as in Mother's Day. P at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for the mom in your life this Mother's Day. One more time, that's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code AMP for 10% off today.
All right, and we are back. Fran, I'm sure you were excited when I reached out to you about doing this one. I will let people know that this is going to be a little bit not too hip-hoppy. It's going to be a little bit hip-hoppy because of the lore around this is so deep and entrenched in music. But the story itself, to me, is so Shakespearean and something that, you know, almost biblical. Like, if this was a story in the Bible, it wouldn't surprise me, you know? Like, but in the world of today, in the modern world, these are the stories that might be told 100 years from now. And I feel like this, maybe not this specific story, but what happens in this story quantifies like the world and social media and the internet in such a way that is so specific to the time that we're in. And so the story, the affirmative murder that we're doing this week, is the story of Shondell Tuka Gregory, a young man who was killed in Chicago, Illinois. Fran, I'm sure you could go on for days about what you know about Chicago drill music, and I don't know how much you know about this kid Tuka specifically, but what were your thoughts when I reached out to you about doing this story?
Now, I know we talked about like how you go into your little rabbit holes of like cults and shit like that. Chicago drill music type scene is kind of like my rabbit holes. What I like, I can get on YouTube and I'll hit something and I'll come up with all kinds of shit. Just fucking, man, this happened because of this. It's just it's a ripple effect of how the Chicago gang scene is. And we have a friend, Big Earl, who's also into the Chicago, and we kind of like, he'll hit me with like, hey, you know this person? I go like, no. He'd be like, oh, well, this happened because this. And I go, what? And then I'll find some, and then I'll send it to him. And we've been doing that for a while now. We've just been sending YouTube videos back and forth with each other. It's crazy, man. It's you can really get, if you're interested in it, you can really get caught up in it and be come out of it like, damn, I learned a whole bunch of shit. It's like,
yeah.
Do I really need to know all this? But it's like, no, but it's still.
It's such a web. Exactly. And it's fascinating. Yeah. It really is sad, but it's so fascinating how you can. It's the simplest idea of revenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has created such a web where you can go, this person because of that person, and then this person because of that person, and then they got this person because of that person. Then all these people went to jail because they knew about this one. And it's like, when you step back, you go, this is all from one song.
Right.
One song made 50 songs and killed 100 people.
Yeah. And it's like, people can go, well, that's how a gang, but it's like, it's that may unique, be how though. All gangs work.
Yeah.
But it's made public though.
Yes.
It's like, it's putting into words and music and verses, and everybody knows what the hell is going on. People that's not that live in Chicago know, like me,
mm-hmm.
know what the hell is happening. That's not happening at all in the West
street
Coast.
Street politics
or whatever.
Are street politics. It's,
exactly.
As a matter of fact, this is why, again, this is where I'm saying it's going to get musical, but you know, people can Google these things. These things do matter because they're costing young people their lives.
Yeah.
So the new version of the war in Chirac to me is happening right before our eyes with this podcast / YouTube channel, No Jumper. So No Jumper is run by this guy named Adam22. He's in Los Angeles, and his platform started off with him interviewing internet rappers. And what it is now, today, currently, is this white dude who does porn on the side and rides BMX bikes, brings on Bloods and Crips, and he'll bring on a Crip one week to diss a Blood, and then bring that same Blood on the next week to talk about how the Crip came on his podcast and dissed him last week. And he's instigating all these beefs that if me and you don't fuck with each other, and I know if I see you at the corner store, it's on, I can avoid that corner store, or maybe we don't come across each other.
Right.
But if I go on a platform and 150,000 people hear me say, man, fuck him, he's a bitch and whatever, now I gotta come do something to you. Because now the world is calling me a bitch.
Right.
It's one thing where you go, I don't like him, he doesn't like me, but we can avoid each other. It's not that big of a deal. It's street politics. It's not world stuff. When the world
gets
involved.
You also
got to
live up to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I want you to finish that
too. Yeah, you got to live up to whatever you categorize yourself as far as like being a gang member, hitman, whatever. Now you got to go, I got to show you what I'm about. You can't go, I'm just not going to avoid it. But now you don't got on here and people look at you like, oh, well, you're a thug. Oh, well, you're a gang member. You got to go
prove
do something.
It.
Now that's what, exactly. That's why, you know what I'm saying? So that's why you walk around when you rep something. It's like, now you got to go represent your gang wherever you're from. You got to do something.
Yeah. And that's the world we live in.
Yeah, man. And he also has like a co-host that is a gang member. Like that's.
Oh, listen, you talk about rabbit holes. The No Jumper rabbit hole is one I'm way down in a way that
really?
I like really
I
should not be.
Was,
oh, my God. And. The No Jumper rabbit hole is a really crazy one. It's a really crazy one, and it's messy, and the guys, the dude who runs it does not take black people seriously, and so he thinks it's just entertainment until somebody gets their head blown off for something that he let somebody say on his platform.
It's a dangerous game, man.
Yes. Crip Mac, the guy Crip Mac who's all viral all over the internet, he came
That's
from No Jumper.
About. Yeah.
He came from No Jumper. This guy has gang of like rival gangs X'd out on his forehead.
Yeah.
Like real shit, real street, internet, dangerous things. And in part, not solely No Jumper, but in part, No Jumper has people all around the world going, and 5-5 Crip and this, and I put that on 5. We're saying gang shit.
Yeah.
So people think it's funny and they'll get on a plane from Wisconsin and go to LA and they want to make a TikTok and go, on 5-5 Crip. And if the wrong person hears you say that, they will blow your head off of your shoulders.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's just like shit shouldn't be on songs and shit shouldn't be on the internet. Some shit people, it just should be local shit. And that leads us to the buildup of all that rambling leads us to our affirmative murder this week. So in January 2011, a group of Chicago teens were waiting at a bus stop on the 500 block of East 63rd Street in Chicago, Illinois. From what I hear, Chicago is brutal in the wintertime, friend. Like, Kanye West has rapped about it. People have sang about it. Chicago, the breeze, the wind, the windy city. It's super cold. So it's January. These kids are at a bus stop. So although in a city like Chicago, it wouldn't be uncommon to see somebody wearing a ski mask, in a city like Chicago with the reputation that it has, it might make some people feel uneasy walking up to me with your face covered with a ski mask.
Right.
So this point was proven when a person wearing a ski mask walked up to that group of kids inquiring if another bus was on the way to the bus stop. Shondale Gregory, a 15-year-old who lived on 63rd, was among the group and answered the question. And he also informed him, the person that asked the question, he also informed the person that asked the question that this is a hot area. And yeah, walking up on people with a ski mask on is probably not a good idea. Whether he said it with aggression or if he just said it as a suggestion, I don't know. But the ski mask was brought up in the exchange, like, yeah, man, the bus is on the way, but just so you know, don't just walk up on people with a ski mask like that. It's crazy out here, so you might make people a little uneasy.
Yeah.
Moments after this interaction, shots rang off. Witnesses said Shondell was shot once in the back. So basically the guy who asked the question, they were in one of those bus shells,
right?
You know, where the seat and then the glass, it's like a little, to keep you protected from the wind and the elements.
Right.
It's like a little house on bus stops. The person went behind that, so he's now behind the group, and shoots Shondell Gregory through the glass from behind the bus shell.
Yeah.
Shoots him one time. Shondell tries to run away from the gunshots. He falls over a trash can. The person walks over him, stands over him, shoots him 5 more times in the back. Leaves him there. No one else was injured in the shooting, but Shondell was pronounced dead at the scene. It's a 15-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So in the days following, a possible motive started to reveal itself. Allegedly, Shondell was known by his friends as Tuca, and he was affiliated with a gang called the GDs. And his death may have been a retaliation from their opposition, the BDs, who they had been in a long-term war with against each other. So they believe somebody from the BD side was killed, and they saw Shondell and this group of friends on the bus stop. Shondell was a popular guy and was known to be affiliated with the GDs. So they saw him, and it was like a target. Which is unfortunate. You know, this guy, it's very sad. Like, this guy is popular. I think he was known to be good with women, like a social guy, was dressed well, you know, had a lot of friends. But also, you see the friends that you see him in the picture with claim a certain side.
Right.
And that makes you popular, and that also makes you a trophy.
Yeah.
So they go, oh, that's Tuca. Everybody knows Tuca. He's from their side. If we get him, the score, which we'll get into, we're up one on them if we get him. And this it's this crazy game of Mortal Kombat or something where they're keeping score with each other. Who can get the most bodies? And the bodies that we're talking about are teenage kids. Who can kill the most people? Who can get the who's up on the scoreboard? At this point, you know, Shondell's dead and it's another tragic day in Chicago. But this is where this story takes a turn where, you know, other than just the violence that these young people have to face on a day-to-day basis in Chicago, it turns more wicked in the following weeks. So after Tuca's death, his friends started commemorating him by saying that they were smoking Tuca during weed sessions. Like, Tuca's mm-hmm. he liked to smoke weed with he was a young kid. I've been there. I was 16 once, smoking weed with friends or whatever. And his friends, almost like a herbal twist on pouring one out for the homies. Like, you know, if you see in the movie, somebody might pour a little bit of their liquor out on the ground because they lost a friend. It's like that little bit of that liquor is for my friend. That's how his friends, when they were smoking weed, they would say, yeah, man, this one we're smoking Tuca. This one's for Tuca, RIP. It was meant to be a kind send off to their friend that they lost. However, the opposition from the other side of town, who were now, at this point, claiming the death of Tuca as a point for their side. They see the tweets and the people making Snapchat videos, RIP Tuca, we're smoking Tuca tonight, we love you, boy. And they see it, and they put a fucking crazy twist on it. And now they start mockingly saying that they, too, were smoking on Tuca. Mm. But when they say it, they're laughing, making fun of those people's pain. Oh, yeah, we smoking on Tuca tonight. It's funny to them. Like, oh, yeah, RIP him. It's like a tongue-in-cheek type of thing. It just so happens that at the time of all this back and forth and Tuca and him dying and the smoking him and everything like that, a young man affiliated with the BD side was starting to make an ascension into rap stardom. rapper Chief Keef, who went on to get a co-sign from Kanye West, he's kind of like a very big pioneer in the Chicago drill rap. Right. Yeah. He's like the guy. He raps in multiple of his songs how he's smoking on Tuca. And because he's the hottest young guy in Chicago at the time, everybody follows suit. So now it's a bunch of people from that side. Tuca was affiliated with the GDs. Mm-hmm. Chief Keef was affiliated with the BDs. These two gangs don't like each other. So now the BD side is starting to make songs saying, fuck this guy who died from the other side.
Yeah.
And what proceeds, I mean, I found a, I'm going to play a compilation of several songs from different people who dissed this young man who was 15 years old.
In Chicago or outside of Chicago?
In Chicago. It's all okay, in Chicago. That's the thing, which I'll get to.
No, like, I mean, like the Tuca diss, though, is what I was.
All in Chicago.
Okay.
This was all in Chicago, and this was all around like 2011 to 2013. Very young, early on, like right. Fresh.
That's when he died, though.
He died in 2011, yeah. But I'm saying, I'll get to it, like I said. But up until 2022, this kid was being. I mean, for a decade plus, people were dissing this kid.
Yeah.
So, but this is 2011, 12, and 13. It's still fresh. People are still angry and upset about it. I'm smoking on a Tuca pack. Yeah, I'm happy. Got the fucking 50 in the Mac. I will wet you quick. Tuca, so I'm looking like an Asian. You wiggle, turn your swag on, I wiggle, turn my K on, I'm ruthless. Slide the doors, then we bail out. Fast shorty got the glizzy, he gon' tear him down. Move a Tuca, we smoke a shine down now. Talk of shit, I know a bitch, I know your whereabouts. Tuca, what I'm smoking on? Shandell, oh blah, bitch. Smoking on Tuca, we call it Shandell. Just posted on our block stage, dropping big L. Gang, gang. Never took a loss, I was rapping L. Smoking Tuca blunt, smoking Shandell. Smoking King Dry Loud Pack. That's fucking Tuca. Don't run up like you know me or me, my fucking Ruger. Yeah, man. I mean, that compilation that I just played featured Chief Keef and another rapper who is major right now, the biggest rapper in Chicago right now, Lil Durk, who these are two of the biggest rappers. Lil Durk is currently one of the biggest rappers out, period, right now. Hangs out with Drake a lot, has a lot of songs that are popular. And this guy, who is one of the most popular rappers in the rap game, up until probably like 2 years ago, maybe still currently, was saying fuck this kid who was 15 years old who died a decade ago.
It was so popular that people outside of Chicago, and that's why I mentioned that, I brought that up, because like people outside of Chicago was saying that, you know, and saying that line, and was thought it was just like, oh, it's just a reference to smoking. But it's like, no, you're like, that's a person you're talking about. That's disrespecting the dead and disrespecting somebody's son, family, and you're using it as like, you may go, well, I don't know the history of it.
A lot of people thought that that's just like what people from Chicago called weed.
Right. And he was just using it. So, for example, there's a rapper that I listen to. Her name is Young M.A., who's from New York, who used that in like a freestyle rap on, like, I don't know if it's Fun Flex, whatever. And then a guy from Chicago checked her and was like, you can't be out here saying it's just in like, you disrespect my people. You can't just be out here saying it. So I may, she, and the girl came out and apologized for it because she just didn't know. But he was essentially saying, like, they'll be on your head if they ever see you or find
this
you.
This is a person with like family and friends.
Yeah.
Bronny James, LeBron James' son, put out a video, like a Instagram video or something of him saying he's smoking Tuca. Because they just don't know. These are kids. They're hearing it. They don't live in Chicago. They don't know what the hell's going on. They just know it's in a popular song that I like. The song sounds hard. The bass is knocking. It's like, yeah, man, fuck Tuca. We're smoking Tuca packs, but they don't know what it means.
Right.
So you got the whole way. This would be like if you found out when everybody was saying on Fleek or Yeet or something like that, if you found out that was like attached to some kind of crazy genocide or some wild murder or something like that, you go, the whole world is saying this thing that they don't know why they're saying it, but still the whole world is saying, fuck your son. We're smoking your brother. Your best friend is dead. The whole world.
Yeah.
It's left Chicago. It's in hit songs. All the kids are chanting it. That's got to be such a devastating trauma on top of the trauma of losing a loved one already.
Yeah, yeah. And just kind of, I wanted to kind of touch on the history of both of these gangs, the Black Disciples and the Gangsta Disciples. At one point in the late 60s, early 70s, they were separate, but then they merged as one. So it was Larry Hoover who had the Gangsta Disciples, I think, and it was David Barksdale who had the Black Disciples, and they kind of merged together. They kind of, like, you know,
unified under one
rivalry or whatever aside, and kind of came together as one gang. And then David Burksdale died; he passed away, and then Larry Hoover ended up taking over the both of the gangs. But then something happened where like they didn't agree on ideologies, which probably still happens today when two leaders come and then one's gone. It's like now this one person is trying to throw his beliefs into everybody.
Yeah. And he's from one of you. Exactly. We merged, but now I'm just from one side. And now I'm trying to make the people who came over to this thing, because there was a representative from our side at the top. Now it feels like, well, we weren't here for you. And now you're trying to boss us around.
Right. So, and then at some point they kind of went their separate ways again. And then that's why the rivalry, because, yeah, so Gangsta Disciples is from 63rd Street and St. Lawrence.
Okay.
And then you have the Black Disciples, which is 64th and like a Martin Luther King Street or whatever that is. That's kind of where...
There's always a Martin Luther King.
Yeah, that's kind of where... And you see why it's so close. It's like a block over.
They're right.
And
you see why it's right, so much... Yeah.
There's so much, you know, they're bumping heads all the time because they're a block over, essentially, and it's always back and forth. And then 64th and Martin Luther King is where Old Black is, which is Garden Parkway.
Which we'll get to.
But I kind of wanted to give people that history of, like, they're near each other.
A couple of blocks separate people who are at a war with each other.
Right. Right. And that's why I believe that when, Sean Dale? Sean Dale. I think that's why when he got killed, it was like, these neighborhoods, these gangs are so close. Where it's like, if a rivalry gang member is in that neighborhood, like, how do you tell the difference? Unless the person is just out there, like, yelling it. Mm-hmm. But a person from a gang could just be walking around, could be walking down the street and popped up on him when he was at the bus stop.
And he had a ski
mask. It's right down the street. And he didn't even, he was like, man, you can't walk around here with a mask on. Because our rival gang members is down the street. We down the street from each other. You can't just be, I'm not saying he was a gang member, but, you know, still, like, you can't be walking around
here. But he's just saying, like, it's dangerous out here. Like,
we don't know who's who unless you made a song and we see the video or something like that. So Sean Dale probably didn't know who this person was, and he had a mask on anyway. But like, they're so close where it's like this dude just walked up on them and nobody even noticed and was just like, man, you can't be walking around here. And then as soon as he turned his back, that's when he got him.
Yeah. So we're now a couple of months removed from the death of Tuka. There were no leads in his murder, although authorities had an idea of the neighborhood that the shooter came from based on the numerous anti-Tuka songs that were coming from the 64th and MLK area that you talked about, that was the rival of people from 63rd, which is where the bus stop was and where Tuka was killed. So legally, the case was growing cold. But on the streets, things were only just beginning to heat up. So on August 10th, 2011, an apartment complex called Parkway Gardens had a bunch of young Black Disciple members outside of it in the middle of the night. Like, they're riding bikes, probably serving up drugs and smoking a little weed, just hanging out, being kids out in the street.
Yeah.
So they're hanging out, riding bikes and everything, and all of a sudden, shots ring out. Mm-hmm. Now, prior to the shots ringing out, 20-year-old O.D. Perry decided to go to the store on his bike. He, along with a friend, entered the store around 11:30 p.m. O.D. Perry leaves the store, gets on his bicycle, and makes his way back to his neighborhood. Moments later, at around 11:35 p.m., shots were heard being let off throughout the area. O.D. fell from his bike onto the ground before getting up and attempting to escape, only to fall back down after around 10 more shots were let off. A key witness at the scene described how O.D. Perry was attacked. And I believe I looked it up. I think this is his government name. I didn't know if OD was a nickname, but I didn't see anything that said that it was. I think his name was OD. According to this eyewitness's account, he saw OD Perry riding northbound on MLK Drive on his bicycle. When all of a sudden he noticed an African-American male standing near a bus stop, as OD Perry started to approach the bus stop, the Black male stepped out in front of the bike and let shots off at OD from his bicycle. O.D. fell off the bike and tried to recollect himself and flee, but the offender continued to pursue O.D. Perry, shooting him again and again before he was able to flee. He died at the scene in the presence of a friend and a gang affiliate named T. Roy, who allegedly heard O.D.'s last words, which he says were, "Damn, they got me, bro." Now, like Tuka, OD was a well-known and popular person from his side, which were the BDs, but for different reasons. You see, OD was allegedly a certified shooter with a long criminal rap sheet and a reputation for killing his enemies. Whereas Tuca was like a guy who was friends with a lot of people and he smoked weed and they were kids. Like, OD's 20 years old.
Yeah.
So Tuca's 15. He's a kid. He's known to be hanging out with some other kids who are in a gang. I don't know whether or not he was officially from the gang, but he is a 15-year-old kid. Not to say that these kids aren't getting busy out there in Chicago and other places, but I'm just saying he was 15 years old, and there's been no stories that have come out that go, oh, yeah, I saw Tuca shoot the gun at this guy, and he was known to still do this or whatever. That's not his reputation. Whereas O.D. Perry's reputation, it preceded him. He was known as a guy to keep a gun on him. He would shoot it. He had no problem shooting his gun. He was a violent guy, and this made him very popular for his neighborhood of Parkway Gardens. It is believed that O.D. Perry was, in fact, the killer of 15-year-old Shondale Tuca Gregory, and that his murder was a revenge killing. Although this can never be proven, Shondale and O.D.'s deaths remain unsolved. O.D. Perry was also immortalized in music after Parkway Gardens, the popular neighborhood where Lil Durk and Chief Keef and a bunch of other people who are tied up in this whole thing are from. They nicknamed Parkway Gardens O'Block in honor of O.D. Perry's death. So both O.D. and Tuca's deaths exacerbated and heightened a war between children on the streets of Chicago.
Yeah.
And while one was merely celebrated with a kind commemoration like O'Block, the other, Tuca, continued to be disrespected for over a decade all over the world. So I don't even know how many people who have heard O'Block in a song don't even know it's a person.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not you know Tuca's a person, you just kind of say, oh, yeah, Lil Durk, that rapper that hangs out with Drake, he's from O'Block. But Tuca's always in regards of, like, being smoked, fuck Tuca. It's only disrespectful. It's never been commemorated in a positive way.
Yeah, except for the people that's from
His side, obviously. Yeah, for sure. But that's the other part that I failed to mention and get across to people. So how Fran said Chicago's so small and this side is only a 2 blocks over from this side and they're beefing with each other. The other side, astronomically popular.
Yeah.
They have a representative. We talked about this before where when we talked about Chelino Sanchez, how Chelino Sanchez might have been saying, El Chapo's the biggest drug cartel leader in all of Mexico. That makes, and he and his songs are going off. They're popular. They're number one on the radio. That makes El Chapo look good.
Yeah.
So when Chief Keef and Lil Durk are the number one guys on the radio saying, we're from O'Block and we kill everybody over there on 63rd and fuck Tuca and all this stuff, and these songs are going global, millions of views on YouTube and all this stuff, and nobody from 63rd has nearly the microphone that these guys have.
Yeah.
So it's not even equal. And also it got to the point where these guys were so steadily successful for so long that they started to gatekeep the music industry from anybody who was from that side. So now we're both from Chicago, but none of our Chicago guys who are GD can get on and say, fuck Chief Keef or fuck Lil Durk or fuck O'Block, because these guys were so successful that they started to create a barrier for, like, we like to pump up Chicago rappers, but only Chicago rappers that are on our side.
Yeah.
Lil Durk and other popular rappers from O'Block, which is the BD side, for a decade after this kid, Tuca, was murdered, continued to disrespect him, continued to disrespect people from his neighborhood. It even got to the point that his mother had to come out and say something because she just wanted it to stop.
Yeah.
I just want to know why. Why? That's all I have to ask them. Why? What have my son done to y'all to make y'all, you know, disrespect him like this? Every song they make, it's got, we smoking on Tuca, fuck Tuca this, fuck Tuca that. You know how long my son been gone? Since 2011, this is 2022, and he's still a trending topic everywhere. I don't want this lifestyle. He didn't want this lifestyle. But he can't be here and be his voice, so I'm going to do it for more. I'm just going to get it out there, the disrespect, to stop. Not only for my son, but for all the dead people. How could you kill somebody, knowing somebody killed somebody and cause grief to another family and mimic that? What's funny about that?
And the pain in that woman's voice, she's shaking as she's delivering this message. And the message, it's a great point. Like, what do you gain out of this? But what people, I want people to understand is, as we've talked about in other episodes before, these are kids. Yeah. No guidance and inheriting a war and a street and a part of town in Chicago flooded with weapons. And all they know is, we don't like this side and we don't like that side. But the issue became, at least that exacerbated the last decade of violence, from what I can tell and what Fran can tell. Fran, you can speak to it in a second if you would like. But I think it was a lot of fights and shit talking and rap disses and whatever. And then somebody got killed. Mm-hmm. And then once somebody got killed, it's like, oh, fuck that. Now we got to get back. And now the get back, it just kept going back and forth and back and forth. And now it's like, I don't even know if it's, there is no, this is why when we talked about in other episodes about like gang leaders coming out and adults stepping in, it's like, it's so much bigger than gang, BD, GD. You killed my best friend.
Yeah.
Every day we would get up. We were freshmen in high school. We would go walk down the street. We used to smoke weed together. We used to try to hook up with girls and chase girls around the neighborhood and all this stuff. You killed my best friend in front of me. I'm not stopping until I get you or you feel what I felt. And now it's all this twisted trauma and PTSD, and it's so much bigger than gangs. These are hurt kids, and all they care about is, I want you to feel what I feel. And so I don't see how you stop that, because it's not just like, oh, well, I'm gonna step in politic and go, hey man, I'm the biggest black disciple and I'm telling you to put the guns down. It's like, hey man, he shot my brother.
Yeah.
So I don't care who you
are. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think the two, because it was like the two most prominent people of both sides were killed, right? Mm-hmm. In revenge of one another. And it was like, these neighborhoods are named after those two people. And it was kind of like a game of revenge. It was just like, it's just constant back and forth. And I don't think it'll never stop, because like you're saying, it's pain that somebody, that somebody's feeling. They go, no, I've been through this. You killed my best friend. So I want you to feel the same way. And it's just, it's back and forth. I think another stop, and then like the person that allegedly that killed O.D. Perry was killed too right after that.
Yep.
And it's just,
and the person that allegedly killed O.D. Perry was at the bus stop and was best friends with Shondell Tucker Gregory.
Yeah.
And that person allegedly is the person that killed O.D. Perry. And then that person went around claiming it and the streets were talking, but none of these murders ever get solved.
No, they don't use, there's no police. They don't use, they go, they solve it themselves. They're like, no, we don't call the police out here.
We're going to get back.
Yeah. Yep. So it's the crazy thing is, it's, you get so deep into it where you go, okay, the person that killed Tuca, that person went after whatever, killed O.D. Perry, and then that person that killed O.D. Perry is killed. And then the person that killed O.D. Perry is not alive anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I'm not going to say the person, allegedly, but that person that was, the person that was responsible for killing the person that killed O.D. Perry got killed. But he got killed outside of Chicago. And the crazy thing is that that person got made fun of for getting killed outside of Chicago. It was like, this person didn't even get killed in his hood.
Right.
And it's like,
it didn't have anything to do. You guys don't even get to, it's not even like a, but that you're just, they're just celebrating our enemy died.
And it's like, look, this person got killed. He didn't even get killed in his own hood. And it's like, that's where I go, like, this is so, this is insane for you to make fun of somebody getting killed as one thing. But then be like, he didn't even get killed. And it's something, and it's like, all right, that's, this
he didn't get killed in the right place.
Right. Like, we didn't even get a chance to get him. Somebody else got him. And it's like, all right, man, this is, it, you kind of go like, all right, well, I'm going to take a break. It's kind of one of those moments where I had, where I was like, you see something crazy on social media, you go like, all right, that's enough for the,
yeah,
that's enough for the
day. I like it, the was songs kinda like and everything, but moments. this has become too real.
Right. And it's like, imagine you're in that environment and like that gang type of culture where like every day you're constantly just peeping over your shoulder.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're a different human being to deal with something like that. Some of them don't have a choice.
Yeah.
But to deal with that every day, constantly, just being on your toes, it's like, that sounds exhausting.
Mm-hmm. And eventually, the craziest part is, eventually the snake eats itself. So, like, yeah. Chief Keef spent all these years, and again, he was a kid, but he spent all these years being like, old block and fuck Tuca and this, that, and the third. And eventually he made so much money that he didn't take care of the right people and didn't whatever. And now he can't even go back to Chicago anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, would you even do it? Would you even do it?
I think he's fine with that, though. I think he's
exactly. Like, wow. Because there's a lot of people who's like, I make all this money, and in order for me to keep making the money, I got to keep the image alive.
Yeah.
Another rapper who died, King Von, I'll say his name. Another rapper who died, King Von, was in the midst of that. Being disrespectful and hardcore and all that kind of stuff. And now you're making millions of dollars. But if you stop going to that neighborhood and showing the images of you being tough, people don't want to listen to you anymore. They want to see you be dangerous. They don't want to just hear you make cool songs.
That's true.
They don't want to see you do a song with Dua Lipa. You can't, as a hardcore Chicago rapper, make millions of dollars and then be like, I'm going to go the route of Nelly.
Yeah.
And do like a sweat and suit type of thing. Like, no. We want to hear you talk about killing people, violence. We want to see you holding guns. You don't get to stop doing that. So the day you stop doing that, you stop making money. So it's like either I make as much money and have as much fun as I can and die at 24, or I try to pivot, leave Chicago, and lose all my credibility, and then I lose money. And that's the path Chief Keef chose. But Chief Keef has made a lot of money. He's not allowed really back to go. I'm not going to say allowed. I don't know his life, but I don't think it would be wise, from what I hear, for him to go back to Chicago. He lives in L.A. Yeah. And one thing I want to give two people credit where credit is due, kind of. Chief Keef opened up a marijuana dispensary a few years ago. He had a strain in his marijuana dispensary called Tuca. He was selling Tuca to people. And when his mom, when Tuca's mom made that video, that interview that she did that I played a clip of, he took that weed out of the dispensary.
Because he grew up.
So it's a step in the right direction, right?
Yeah.
And another person I want to give credit to, again, I think people should look him up. He's a funny, silly, crazy guy and whatever, but this is real shit, man. This guy, FYBJ Main, do your homework on FYBJ Main. Let's start there. Those are two of his popular phrases that he says. He's a very funny guy. But FYBJ Main is out here. He is saying, I'm pushing peace. He was there. I'm talking about, if you look this guy up, all the shit that you talk about, friend, he was friends with Tuca. He knew FBG Butter. He knew all. He was everywhere. He was a part. He's certified. Everybody knows this guy's the real deal. He was a dangerous guy. He was really one of those guys out there. And now he's like, I'm a YouTuber, and I know what dumb shit I was doing when I was 16, 17 out in those streets. And now I'm saying, now he's going to schools and telling the kids to put the guns down. He's really saying, like, hey, man, in order for this shit to stop, somebody has to grow up and say, yeah, you killed my brother, but I'm done. Because that's why we're saying it'll never end, is because nobody's ever going to go, I'm just going to eat that.
Yeah,
you killed my friend, and you know what? Let me shake your hand and say, hey, man, you leave us alone and we'll leave you alone. Nobody will do that, is what we're saying. But I'm saying this guy, FYBJ Main, you can look him up on YouTube. I'm not saying he's a Farrakhan or a politician or something like that. He says crazy, wacky, dumb shit on the internet. He's a silly guy. But he is saying, I'm pushing peace. I'm saying, let's stop the violence in Chicago and across the country. Let's tell these kids to stay in school and stop hurting each other. And I'm saying, I don't promote any of that shit anymore. All that shit I did was dumb when I was a kid, and we got to stop doing it. And that is an important message. And he's catching a lot of flack from people.
Yeah.
I've seen him go on many interviews with these dumb dudes who are still locked into the streets and go, you're telling people to stop killing people when they killed your friend? And he's still being his silly character, but he's basically saying, yeah, man, I'm saying I'm 30 years old, and we got to stop this at some point.
But that will get a target put on you doing that.
Calling for peace?
Calling for peace. But when people go like, why are you calling for peace when this person did something
down.
To...
We're still down on the scoreboard.
Like, right, because that kind of seems like you're... It reminds me of a... and this may be... It reminds me of, like, back in Jim Crow era when it was, like, segregation and all that. When it's like, hey, man, we should, like, not be racist. When a white person goes, oh, we should not be racist. And you go like, what? You with them?
Yeah.
And that makes you look like, now you look like you love black people.
Got
it's like,
you.
No, you're supposed to be on outside.
Yeah.
And that puts a target on your back, and that can get you killed. Because, like, what do you mean? What do you mean peace? Or what do you mean, like, stop? Like, no.
Right.
You're supposed to be on outside. You're supposed to be down, not doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah. You and lover.
They just don't like that. Yeah.
That's what they used to say back then.
Yes, they did say that.
Say, hey, man, maybe racism isn't all that bad. Maybe racism. Hey, man, maybe racism is bad and we should stop doing it. Oh, so you love, huh? Somebody find me a tree. And now there's a white man hanging from a tree and nobody knows how to, how do we approach this one? We're not used to this right. one.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they go, well, he must have loved. And then that's case solved. And then they put on their sunglasses and they ride off like in CSI. But yeah, no, on a serious note, though, this guy, FYBJ Maine, is calling for peace, man. He's saying we're pushing peace. And I think that that's important to hear somebody saying that in a world of clips where you type, if you type in Chicago, war in Chicago, whatever, you'll find a bunch of people being like, and we killed them and this guy, I killed this person and they killed me and this and that. And it's a guy being like, hey, I'll tell those stories, too, because I know the whole history of all that stuff. But I'm saying, hey, man, it's a new year, a new day, and we need to start pushing this piece. So, again, this was a little bit different, but I just felt like the idea of a 15-year-old kid being murdered, and you talk about LeBron James's son, young M.A., all kind of white kids in suburbia all across the country saying that they're smoking Tuca, fuck Tuca, this, never heard of this person, don't know who he is, whatever. And at the end, at the core of it, this is a 15-year-old kid who was killed in 2011. Yeah. And up until now, probably still. Because it's not like that mom makes that video and everybody just stops saying this shit. It takes episodes like this of our podcast. It takes people like FYBJ Maine to go, hey, man, like, that's a real person. Here's a video of his mom. Are you really going to still say fuck this kid when you see a video of his mom saying what, how that affects her? Because then you really got to be a heartless person. And then we got to have a whole nother conversation about where are we as a country where we're now putting in front of you the information that, hey, Tuca's a kid who was 15 years old. This is his mom. He's been dead for over a decade and she cries herself to sleep every night because the whole world is saying fuck her son, spitting on his grave. They're smoking him. He's burning in hell. And you still say it?
Yeah.
Then we go, this is a crisis of empathy. This is, we are a country deprived of any kind of soul or heart. If you can hear that that woman is feeling the way that she's felt for a decade plus, if you can hear that this is a kid who was on a bus stop waiting for the bus because he can't drive because he's a kid, he was killed a decade plus ago, never got to grow up, never got to stop doing dumb shit that, bro, if you... If you are even a person who goes, well, man, well, if he was gang affiliated, who knows what he did? I'm not saying that me and Fran were the most dangerous whatever's in the world, but we did a lot of dumb shit when we were 15, 16, 17 years old. And it could have been some dumb shit where this person who we were with one night hit somebody with a brick and that person died. And now we all would have been in jail. So to hold a 15-year-old who will never grow another day in his life to some actions or some affiliations that you say, well, I mean, how are we supposed to feel sorry? What am I supposed to feel sorry for him? He was in a gang. He was a kid from a rough neighborhood. So this idea that you could feel anything other than empathy, even if you feel empathy for the fact that he lived in a life where he felt like he needed to click up with people to stay safe in his neighborhood, because you don't want to be out there getting caught by yourself, getting jumped.
I mean, but they saying that he was affiliated. What if his best friend was in the gang? I mean, like,
yeah, that's just my best friend.
That's my best friend. I mean, he. He happens to be in the gang. I was hanging out with him. We took a picture. I mean, like, what are you supposed to, at 15, you're not like, hey, man, no, I don't.
Yeah, I don't mess with that, man.
Nobody's doing, you're not doing that at 15. I don't want to hear that.
And that's my whole point, where it's like, if you can feel anything but like, man, that's tragic that this kid was killed. If you can try to come up with any kind of, well, he was in a gang. Well, he did this. Well, he stole a car. Well, he was smoking weed. He was 15 years old. I did a ton of dumb shit at 15 years old. And if I never got to live another day in my life, and I was held to that standard of being 15 years old, that would be incredibly fucked.
Yeah. I just think that it would be, people shouldn't be saying it in their songs, but I think it would be, it would have to be another generation to come along for it to kind of
wash away.
Wash away. Because, like, it was, what, 10 plus years ago, but people that's in the streets, in the streets of Chicago is what I'm saying, are still saying it. They're never gonna stop saying it because it's still too new.
Mm-hmm.
The area their territory is named after this person. I don't think it would have to be another like 20 years.
It has to fade away, you're saying.
It has to fade away where it's just like when nobody's saying it more. But she is right. People outside of Chicago shouldn't be saying it if you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you're disrespecting somebody. So, like, those people should be checked.
For sure. Cause it's
like LeBron James and his son. Yeah. But he should have been checked. He should have been like, hey, man, you can't be out here saying that. I don't know. We love your dad, but it's like, you don't get a pass.
No, because your dad.
To say shit like that.
Yeah.
No.
This isn't for Shizzle or, like, dope or whatever, you know what I'm saying, or PYT or something. Like, this isn't just some slang. This is a person who was killed, and this is a diss to him. And I agree with what you're saying as far as Chicago goes, but I think it's important for the kids out there and parents who are listening to this, if you have kids who are 14, 13, 14, 15 years old, and you live in a neighborhood where it's not that. You live in the suburbs and this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to you, I don't know, you know, sometimes, you know, these kids are playing on their tablets and shit. You don't know what your kids are talking about sometimes. But you might hear them, if you do hear something like this, you need to let them know, hey, man, stop saying that. This is where it comes from. And if you already know that, I'm really disappointed in you. But also, if we happen to go to Chicago someday, you might have to answer to that if they catch you saying some shit like that. Like, these words have consequences. This is not just some slang. This is not just saying gyat or whatever these kids are saying. Like, this is a real thing.
But the music is never going to go away. Those words is like...
Well, the music lives on the internet forever, yeah.
Right, and those words still in those music. Like, when a white person sings a song with the N-word in, they not just... They may not say it in public, but in
the car with the windows rolled up,
they letting it go.
Letting it fly.
You're not telling me they're not.
You're telling me when Niggas in Paris comes on, you're censoring yourself in the car by yourself?
Yeah. So, like,
a likely story.
That term is still... It's going to be around for... forever because of the music still there. People still going to sing the music. People still going to say it. They may not be out here just saying it all willy-nilly just for the fun of it without listening to the music.
Mm-hmm.
I hope not. They're not doing that. But it's going to be, I mean, that's a tough one, man. I don't know how you just tell people to stop saying that when the music's still out there and people are still living that life. I think that's just hard, man. And it sucks. It's I'm saying this is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's a negative thing. Like, it sucks.
Yeah, so, man, listen. R.I.P. Shondell Gregory, known to his friends and his enemies as Tuca. This was, again, when I say Shakespearean and I say biblical and stuff, this idea that this person never gets to rest because his enemies have made him into, like, a celebration chant and... this ritualistic thing, like even the idea of the ritual around it, we're rolling up a pack tonight. And it, even all that terminology, which Patrick Mahomes' dad said after Patrick Mahomes beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in the AFC championship game, he goes, oh, I'm smoking that special blend tonight. I'm smoking that Lamar Jackson pack. All of this stems from the Tuca disrespect. All of that smoking on this, and I know people have seen that. That terminology is everywhere. But you need to understand that terminology all is an offshoot of a diss of a 15-year-old kid. So when you're smoking on this or smoking on that, like, that's where that comes from. If you see that on Barstool Sports or whatever, that's where that comes from. And that's so sad to me that this kid... his legacy doesn't get to live rest in peace, or that even that a 15-year-old, tragically, and I say this as a 15-year-old, the sadness of somebody dying at 15 is that they shouldn't have a legacy. It should be the tragedy of a life cut short. And yet this kid's legacy is one of disrespect and controversy when he didn't even live a life that fulfilled in any kind of way, and yet he has a legacy that has lived beyond almost longer than he was alive. He's been disrespected. If anybody still is saying fuck Tuca in 2029, people will have been disrespecting this kid for longer than he was on the earth.
Yeah.
So I just felt like this was an important one to discuss, because I think that when I remember, like I said, a few years ago, it's probably 3 years ago now, when Bronny James said it. But like you said, the young MAs and other rappers, and you might be a rapper from California, but you want to get in good with a Chicago rapper. You want to get a feature from Lil Durk. You might want to get a feature from Chief Keef. So you just, for wanting to be included, will go, yeah, man, I'm hanging out with Lil Durk tonight. We're at the club, man, smoking on Tuca. You don't know what it means, but you just know that that's what they say. And now you're prolonging the disrespect. So it's a bunch of people out there uninformed, wanting to follow these social media trends and social media lingo, and in turn have disrespected a child for over a decade. And it's absolutely tragic. And I felt like people should know that this is what's going on in the world, man. These kids are killing each other for revenge and then disrespecting people after they're gone. It's a crazy cycle of violence and pain, and it needs to stop. And obviously we can't stop it, but all we can do is bring attention to it. So
yeah, spread the awareness. Yeah.
Any final thoughts on the Tuca story, friend?
Nah, man. I mean, it gets way deeper than that.
Way deeper. I mean, names that we said and situations and rap songs and everything like that, I went like 10% into how deep this shit goes.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of those people are still around. Some of those people are not. And some of them make music that's on the radio. Some of them is not. And you can find on YouTube, you got millions of views. I mean, like, it goes way deeper than that. And I couldn't imagine trying to grow up as a child and as the age of Shondell, trying to grow up in that type of environment, neighborhood, where you're surrounded by gang violence and gang activity and still trying to be a child, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, you kind of got to, that's like a grown man's type. You kind of got to grow up a little faster than you should at 15 years old. And 15 years old, man, I'm outside trying to, you know, chasing girls and playing football and stuff, but like 15 years old and out there in Chicago is like, I'm trying not to get shot.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get, you know, ran up on. It's like, that's, I don't know. How do you even, that's rough, man. But you can tell why people make that music. And like Chief Keef was like, I'm out of here.
I got to get out.
Some shit went down where he was just like, and he kind of separated himself from the people that we brung up, where he was just like, I'm gone. Yeah. And just leave all that shit behind you. And just like, it's whatever that he doesn't say it anymore in his songs. He just dropped the album recently. And he goes, it's kind of like, it reminds me of Paramore, and reminds me of Andre 3000, where they go like,
I'm not playing Misery Business anymore.
And Andre 3000 goes like, I don't have anything to rap about at 50, whatever it is. But he's like, that part of my life is in the past. I don't connect with that type of music anymore. Chief Keef may make similar music now, but he's like, I don't rap about that shit anymore, man. I just, that old stuff you will never get, because that's not what I'm on anymore.
Yeah.
And people just grew up, and that's what he did, was like, I'm out of here. And doesn't really promote the gang violence like that. I mean, he's still going to make the music a little bit, because that's what got him where he is.
Yeah.
You can't let go. It's like, all right, well, I got to give up something.
Right.
But you can't give up everything.
For sure.
And he was just like, I'm kind of done with some of that stuff.
Funny enough, because of the tie to what it is connected to, I believe Chief Keef. But yeah, in the case of a lot of people that, or one group that you just named, and also another one, I'll say Panic at the Disco, they did a kind of virtue signaling kind of thing that I didn't like, where in Misery Business, basically, I don't know if there's a specific line because I can't think of all the lines right now, but basically Misery Business is like a slut-shaming song, because you're saying like, once a whore, you're nothing more. I'm sorry, that'll never change. Like, he picked me, he likes me, and you're just like, well, some girl he fucked and he doesn't like her anymore. Right. So, and then Hayley Williams goes, I'm not singing that song anymore. And then Panic at the Disco, they have I Write Sins, Not Tragedies, and they go, what a shame that the groom's bride is a whore. And he goes, he comes out after Paramore says that, and they go, I'm not singing that song anymore. Like, that's mean, or that's sexist, or whatever. But 6 months later, a year later, it's like the whole crowd's saying, please play Misery Business. The whole crowd's saying, please play Our Right Sins, Not Tragedy. And they went back, they reverted back to it.
They went back to it.
So I'm saying that to say, hopefully, because of what the whole fuck Tuca and Tuca Pack thing means, that Chief Keef will stick to it.
That's not the same, though.
It's like, no, play, nobody died. Play Smoking the Tuca Pack. The whole crowd is cheering. It's like, no, man, he died. Play Tuca Pack. I don't see that being the case. You know, like, I feel like it's connected to a much realer thing than saying whore in a song.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I just brought it up because, like,
No, they I think that's awesome. I'm glad you brought it
right.
up.
Right. Yeah. They wrote it in a different time, and it was just like, they go, you know, shout out to Chief Keef for going like, that's not who I am. I don't write that. He didn't say that's not who I am. He just said, I don't write that type of music. I don't, you know, do that shit
anymore. Yeah.
But them, it's like, all right, well, it's
it,
like,
it sounded nice
to
say at the time.
Music,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, all right, come on. That's, it was a song, relax. Like, it's not, come on, I get it. You trying to be progressive, move forward. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
We liked you because of that
song.
Yeah,
like.
Don't go away from it. I hate when people do that. I can't stand that. That burns me up. I can't stand it.
Like, imagine going to go see 50 Cent. He's like, well, In the Club came out like 30 years ago. I don't really feel connected to it anymore, so I'm not going to play it. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm leaving. Sam Smith get on stage and sing some other devil shit or whatever he on now. I'm like, man, if you don't get up there and sing, I don't know, whatever his one of his songs.
You don't play Stay With Me right now?
Amazing. Yeah, man.
And put your bussy away?
Please. People just, oh, man, a little bit of money. Just, I'm different now. I don't do that.
Like, yeah.
Stop.
But yeah, no, once again, rest in peace to Shondell Gregory, man. You know, a wild story. And I hope that, you know, I hope that I never end up being dissed by the whole world. Like, that's so sad. Like, yeah. People that don't even
but
know you are like, fuck
though.
Him. He's
it's
not
unintentional,
tough.
Unintentional, though.
Huh?
It's unintentional for people that's not, that
of
don't
course,
know what the fuck is going
of
on.
Of course, but the effect is still the same on
but
the family.
But still, though, as a parent, right. It's like, y'all don't even, that's what would make me mad. Like, y'all don't even know what the fuck y'all talking about. And y'all saying his name like that? Like, nah, it's, they lucky that she's not a gang member. She's like, I'll put a hit on all y'all. Yeah, it'd be a whole different story then.
Yeah.
It's just for her to live that life for 10 plus years and kind of steer her son name.
And it not be in a positive light.
Man, right. Mm.
But before we get out of here, Fran,
what's up?
Did you watch the Freaknik doc?
I did. I did watch it, man.
I feel like, not to pat ourselves on the back, but when I was watching it, I was like, we covered this pretty good. I feel like there's not much we missed. From the good to the bad. One thing I will say is, and also put a pin in this because I don't want to go too much into it, because we definitely need to do the Freaknik companion podcast where we talk about it more in detail.
Coming soon.
But I love how they gave Jermaine Dupri his flowers.
For sure.
Because
man.
Jermaine Dupri is not loud. He's not boisterous. No Diddy. He is a fixture in Southern hip hop and hip hop in general. He's a hit maker. He's a recognizable face. He's given us a bunch of superstar acts, and he doesn't really get the credit that he deserves. So it was really cool to see, like, oh, once Jermaine Dupri got of age and started putting his fingers on Freaknik and the sound of it, it all was Jermaine Dupri music basically. And I think that was really awesome that you got to see, like, and you got to be reminded of, like, oh my God, yeah, Da Brat and Escape and Bow Wow.
He go way back. I didn't even know he went that far. I didn't know his talent that he find went that far back.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Oh, he knows how to find diamonds.
Crisscross? I was like, huh?
Yeah, he knows how to find diamonds.
I think I was like, yeah, he had hair. I was like,
yeah,
oh, this
he
is
was
crazy.
Young. That's the thing about Jermaine Dupri is, like, he was almost like Stevie Wonder. Like, he was a prodigy.
Yeah.
So yeah, but we will go further into detail on that, because I really do want to do like a, you know, really a deep dive into that documentary and the culture and the fashion and the hustling, and it was really cool. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was good, man. They showed a lot of. I didn't know they was going to go like
the rump shaking.
The thing about for me was like
it got inappropriate.
Imagine seeing that. Yeah, it did. Imagine seeing that, but then like. Oh, that's Uncle Gerald.
No, that's crazy. Damn,
is that Uncle Gerald?
Yeah. Is that Aunt Ines?
He like got his face in somebody's ass and shit. Like, it's like this.
Freaknik
94,
baby. Spreading the jeans, like, spreading the butt of the jeans. Come on, bro.
It put a lot of people on blast in that day.
Nah, like, somebody saw their aunt or their mom in that.
For sure.
That, for sure.
Just shaking their ass.
Rump shaking.
Going off. I was crazy. But I do have to say, though, black women are beautiful, period. But I mean, like, the 90s.
Unmatched.
Natural black women was
the style.
It's in a league of its own.
They were the culture, and still
for
are.
Sure.
But when you look back and you go, everything.
Well, we know what we talking about. We talking about 90s.
We talking about 90s.
we know I'm talking about 90.
For sure. Yes. But when you go, when you talk about even today, you go, where's the influence come from? Style, hair, jewelry, accessories.
Yes.
It's all derived from trying to look like a Southern Black woman.
Yeah.
And this was really put on Front Street, and it's just like, I just thought it was so cool. When it was at its peak, it was so cool that Black people had this place to go to and drive down, and it was kind of free. You know, you could come with some money, really, but if you didn't have any money, if you got a car and some friends, y'all can just go down to Atlanta and have a good time. And then the term, which, again, I don't want to go too deep into it, but when it started being like, which we talked about, if you go watch our two-part History of Freaknik podcast, which is available right now, where they go, and then all of a sudden, people that weren't in college started showing up. It's like 30-year-olds started showing up, like, man, I'm here for the freaks.
I don't
want
to get too deep in that.
That's where it got crazy. But anyway, the Freaknik's documentary is on Hulu right now. Go check it out, and then look for a companion piece from us soon on Patreon. Also, the Black Twitter documentary is coming out soon. I started to do some more research into that, and I don't know if it's going to be my cup of tea. I probably will watch it, but I saw who they interviewed, and they didn't really get the Black Twitter people. Okay. They got a lot of, like, new agey Black Twitter people. Like, they didn't. And again, you could see, the thing about Black Twitter is you can't really make the Black Twitter documentary and not get canceled.
Without the people. Yeah.
Because you got to go back to 2009, 2011, where these because basically, if you do it now, people got to own up to some shit. So you can only show the people that were more, the more later down in the time, progressive Black Twitter people, because Black Twitter. You can't talk about Black Twitter on TV and not be wholly offensive and gratuitous and aggressive. It just was like, it was too raw. And this looks like a sanitized version of Black Twitter, this documentary that's coming out. I think, like, they're not going to talk about the Twitter moments that I remember that are legendary to me. Because you can't, bro. You can't go on Hulu and talk about...
You can't talk about Navy. Paywall. You can't. Yeah.
How you gonna go on?
That would have to go behind the paywall.
How you gonna go on national television and talk about Navy? You can't. You can't do it, bro. Or a lot of the conversations around stuff like that, the Popeye's chicken sandwich, and a lot of the tweets, and that's later down the line. I'm talking early on. You know, like it just. So I think it's gonna be a sanitized version of Black Twitter, which I'm not really here for. But I'm gonna still watch it. I wanna watch a documentary with the real shit. I want the real shit. But outside of that, recommendations corner, there's a show on Netflix called The Three Body Problem. I watched the first episode. It's really getting to some really weird stuff. I don't know if I'm going to like it. I don't know if it's going to get too weird, but it's aliens and theology and a lot of cool stuff. Super into that. And then also The Gentleman, which is also on Netflix. Okay. Highly recommend The Gentleman. I'm about three episodes into that. That's super fun. It's kind of like...
Gentlemen, okay.
It's like a wacky version of Breaking Bad. It's like Breaking Bad, but it's silly. I really enjoy it. And it's British. It's silly and British. But I enjoy it a lot. So I highly recommend The Gentlemen. The Three Body Problem is a maybe for me. The Freaknik documentary, definitely think people should watch it. But be prepared, about a third of the way in, you got to let the kids out of the room.
Yeah, you can't.
Because it starts to, come on, baby, come on, baby. And it's just ass shaking constantly for a while.
Ass shaking.
It's just the rumps are shaking. Yeah. So be prepared for that if there's kids in your house.
Yeah, for sure, man.
But with that being said, man, I've been Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans. And we'll see you guys next week.
Deuces.